We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Not an Easter text. We should be talking about resurrection and life and all of those things. Maybe his death, maybe some details about the crucifixion. All good things and all parts of Easter. But I have this thought concerning Easter, and Romans 8 happens to play into it. And it goes something like this. We, in our life, in our struggle, we begin to walk and attempt to live and do as we've been taught. And somewhere, we usually come to a crisis of faith. Now, that crisis of faith takes people in all different directions, some of them not good. But hopefully, for those of you that are in the room, that crisis of faith led you up to the cross, where you saw there a Savior who loved you enough to die for you. The same Savior who, after dying on a cross, went to the grave. Not only concerned with those who would believe, but those who had tried to walk with God up to that point. The Bible says he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and I believe he went and preached to those who were in prison or those who had not had the opportunity to trust in their Lord as Savior. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, I'm not certain of this, and I have no scripture to back it up, but I have to wonder, as much as Jesus loved his disciples, if one of the first people he hunted down was Judas, that he had poured all that time into and who stabbed him in the back and then hung himself over the grief of it, that Jesus would have been finding Judas first is a beautiful picture to me. Because I imagine sometimes that those who have stabbed people in the back don't deserve second chances. But that's not how Jesus operates, amen? If he did not give second chances, none of you would be saying amen right now. But Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth and then rose from the grave on the third day, which is what we celebrate today, and offered life to all. And some of you came by that way. You trusted Christ as Savior and you came through the life in Christ and he's risen from the dead and you come here to celebrate. Our cross has been changed. It no longer has the purple robes that he was crucified in or led up to the cross in, but now has white robes expressing his resurrection and the life that he offers. But here in this passage, we read that those who love God have all things working together for them. I don't know about you, but not all my days feel like they're working together. It also says that who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That was actually the verse right there that caught my attention for this morning. That Jesus would have gone the way of the cross and came out in the resurrection, that he might be the firstborn amongst many who would come with him. Now, if he turns back and offers life to the many that come with him, and they trust him as Savior and they begin to follow, would you think to yourself that in order to follow the guy that led me out of the grave, I should continue to look at him, or that I should turn back and look at where I came from? Anybody? Jesus, backward. Which way? Makes sense, right? If I'm following him, that's the way I should go. And yet, even though he's the firstborn amongst many siblings, and we all have the opportunity to keep following him, what do you think about most? Your Savior or your past? Be honest with yourself. You're not trying to impress me or anybody else in the church. Your Savior or your past? Because I'm thinking that if I'm the He's the firstborn and I'm in the family and he's preparing a place for me, John 14:6, and one day I'm going to be there with him, and he's promised that one day I'm going to drink communion with him and we're going to have a big feast around a table, that he left lots of leaders or breadcrumbs, if you will, saying, hey, look in this direction. Agreed? And yet, well, you know what it did yesterday. You know what it did last week. And well, I'm so thankful he saved me from that. And I'm afraid that so many Christians have the opportunity to live like this, following Jesus. But they often live like this. Well, look at that mess down there. Well, that was awful. You know what? I'm glad my mess looks a little better than their mess over there. Yeah, y'all got bad mess over there, but this mess, this ain't too bad. But you folk over there, y'all singing in the choir, y'all got better mess than this mess right here, so y'all probably good people. And we stay focused on the mess rather than the Messiah. And on Easter morning, we would come together and have communion. And sometimes communion is not a reminder of how great He is. It's a reminder of how many times you've failed Him. I wonder how many times you've taken communion, and that's the bulk of what you think about when you're taking communion. I'm not mad at you. I'm a little frustrated with myself. But I don't think He wants any of us to stay there. I think He saved you out of your mess and out of your sin and out of your sorrow and out of your shame so that you could keep your eyes on Him and keep following Him. And that whole business about those that love God and are called according to His purpose, everything working out for those people, y'all, those are the folks walking that way. But the brother or sister that never has anything work out and it's always awful and it's never going to be right is the person living right there. Hopefully this is translating. If you're listening on podcast, it's probably not. It just sounds like a bunch of blah, 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 but that's okay. Come to church and you'll see it. Jesus Christ did not save you to stay focused on your past and your sin and your failure. He rescued you so you'd have something better to look at. And that's Him. And that's all it is. It's Him. Well, heaven? Yeah. Eternity? Yeah. Big feast? Sure. But none of that stuff is any good without Him. Live forever and not be with God? Not be with Jesus? That doesn't sound like heaven. Have a huge feast and not have anybody that knows you or that you know? That doesn't sound enjoyable. Have a grand house that's empty with no love in it? Y'all, it's always been about Jesus, and it still is. So if you happen to be in the camp of believers that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and only think about your failure in your past, I got good news. Jesus has got a better plan for you. Start setting your eyes on Him, and He's got real, real good things for you. But that's on you. It's got to be your choice. It's a daily choice. The devil brings up my failures to me all the time. Constantly. Every day, sometimes in the middle of the night. And I've told y'all how I talk to him. When he keeps throwing them up in my face, I just ask him about his past. Did it hurt bad when Jesus kicked you in the teeth and walked all them people out of hell? Did it hurt bad when you had a plan to put him on the cross and it ended up being your death? Did it hurt bad when you thought you had him pinned down in the grave and he just walked out like it wasn't done to it? I mean, since you're reminding people of past, let's go ahead and remind the devil of his. Amen? Yeah. And then when he keeps bringing it up, you say, hey, I know you want to talk about who I was, but Jesus paid for that. So let's talk about who he is, because he's better than all that. That'll do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for letting us come together. Thank you for this opportunity to look into the Word and to sing and to celebrate on Easter. Lord, as we sing this one last song, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage the body, encourage the people, and help us to keep our eyes on you. In your name we pray. Amen.